that is in this psalm, those two ideas are not in conflict. They're not out of harmony with one another. In fact, they are in perfect harmony. Because the psalmist is asking God to bless him, but the reason he wants to be blessed by God is because he wants to be a channel of God's blessings, not a terminal. He doesn't want God's blessings to stop at a certain point, just maybe on him, but he wants to be a part of the process that spreads those blessings to others. He wants to be a channel, not a terminal. He wants to be a conduit, not a collection site. He wants to be a river of God's good gifts, not a reservoir of God's good gifts. He wants to be blessed by God so that he can in turn be a blessing to others. Now we're going to call our time together this morning, May the Nations Praise You. May the Nations Praise You. And you may recognize that that is a statement right out of verses 3 and 4. May the Nations Praise You. And as we look at this particular psalm, we're going to find out why the psalmist wants to be a part of that process whereby the nations can praise God. There's about three layers we kind of want to expose as we go through this psalm this morning. So the first thing I want to share with you from Psalm 67 as a reason why the psalmist is requesting us to praise God is so that we recognize God makes His way known. We ought to praise God because God makes His way known. We ought to be thankful to God because God has made His way known. Now back in the book of Numbers, if you'd turn there for just a moment in your Bible, this is the first of a couple of verses I want to introduce to us this morning. The book of Numbers in Numbers chapter 6. Now, I know I'd normally put these on the screen, so I hope you brought your Bibles with you. I hope you have them handy. We're going to be turning to a couple of pages. But in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, you'll find this statement. Numbers 6 and verse 24. And your Bible says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Now of this reading, I want you to notice verse number 25. Where here in the book of Numbers, in this priestly benediction or this priestly praise, the statement is made in Numbers 6 and 25, "The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee." Now carry that statement from the book of Numbers back over here to the book of Psalms, and what you find is this psalmist is now quoting from this passage in the book of Numbers. But there's a difference. In the book of Numbers, it is directed toward the people of Israel, the descendants of Israel. Over here in the psalm, it is now worldwide. He's broadened the scope out to include all the world. Look at Psalm 67 in verse number 1. "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us." An exact statement from the book of Numbers, "have His face to shine upon us." And that priestly benediction is now the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 67 and verse number 1. Now, at this place, my King James translation uses the word in Psalm 67, 1, "God be merciful to us." Be merciful to us. Maybe you're looking at a translation of the Bible that instead of merciful is using the word gracious. Be gracious to us. The New American Standard Bible will use merciful, but other translations use the word gracious. And the words are similar. They really are. They're similar, but they are distinct. Grace is man receiving what he does not deserve. Mercy is God holding back from man what he does deserve. There are two sides, really, of the same coin. But the psalmist is not asking for God to withhold punishment. The psalmist is asking God for blessings, for His face to shine upon him. He wants God to grant him what he does not deserve. And he's asking for these blessings so that, through him, others can be reached. Look at Psalm 67 and verse number 2.
Here is why the psalmist is reaching out to God for his gracious blessings. Verse number 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations.
Now the word that introduces the reason, doesn't it? Lord, I'm asking for your grace. I'm asking for your face to shine upon me. And here is why I'm asking that. So that your way may be known upon all the earth.
I'm praying for this, and here's why I'm praying for this. What you and I need to derive from this is that the psalmist sees himself as intimately involved in the overall process of God's way being made known upon all the earth. He receives blessings from God, and the psalmist then makes God's way known upon the earth.
And so it's a very personal in that he's asking for personal blessings. May your face shine upon us. May your grace be upon us. But he wants to use those blessings to be productive and active in the work of God in this world.
Now, I want to tell you, that is in keeping with God's theology of blessing. When God gives blessings, he expects us to use those blessings in a responsible fashion. You may recall back in the time of Abraham, when God called Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees, way back in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, in verse 2, God will say something like this to Abraham. He will say this,
I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. You see, God was blessing Abraham so that Abraham would in turn take those blessings and share them with others. That's God's theology for blessing. That's the reason God is gracious. That's the reason God is good. That's the reason God bestows His benefits, so that we might take those and use those to help those round about us. And I submit to you that is how God desires to work in and through the lives of His people, both then and even today as well. He wants us to use the blessings to be productive and active in His ways so that others can be blessed in this world as well. And that's why the psalmist wants to be a river and not a reservoir. That's why he wants to be a conduit, not just a collection site.
He wants to be a part of that process whereby other people come to know the way of the Lord. And he's asking God for God's grace, for God's face to shine upon him so that he can do just that. So that he can make the way of the Lord known. Now this request of the psalmist brings us two things to consider. First of all, it is not wrong. It is not wrong to ask God to bless your life. It's not wrong. We all have needs in our life. Sometimes our needs are financial in nature. Maybe they are health in nature. Maybe they are the relationship in nature. But we all have needs of some kind. It is not wrong to petition God for the needs that we have. You may remember 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Why should we do that, Peter? Because He cares for you. God cares for you and I. He wants to bless our lives. It is not wrong to ask God specifically about those things that are going on in our life to bless us and to help us with those things. But if you're just going to hold on to those blessings, like that rich farmer in Luke chapter 12, what am I going to do with all of my goods? Tear down my little barns, I'll build bigger. He didn't look at anybody else. He didn't see how he could use the ways God blessed him to help anybody else. If we're going to be like that, not use how God blesses us to help others, then our understanding of God's blessings is wrong. We shouldn't look at blessings as something we hold on to, God's good graces as something we hold on to, but rather something that we can use to share with others and let others know about God's way. How are people going to know about God unless we're talking about God? How are people going to know about God's ways unless we're talking about God's ways? How are they going to understand God's teaching unless we're teaching God's ways? And so you see, God blesses you with all the good things that He does so that you can in turn talk to others about God. How good God has been to you. How God has blessed you. How He's made His face shine upon you in the words of this great psalm. Now I hope that sounds like the Great Commission to you, because that's exactly what it is. Jesus is not the first one. He's not the only one to have ever spread the message that God uses those whom He has blessed in His way to advance His work in this world. Our teaching responsibility extends far beyond our own selves. We have learned God's will as we take His word out and study from it. Well, what do we do with that? Do we just collect it and hold it to ourselves? Are we going to be a river? Are we going to be a conduit? Are we going to be the person who passes that on to others? Jesus said one time in Matthew 28 in verse number 19, He said, go into all the world, right? Go into all the world and do what? Do what when you go into all the world? Go into all the world and teach the nations. You see, that's our responsibility. That's what the psalmist is praying for. He's praying for God to be gracious to him, to be merciful to him, so that he can go and teach others. And that's in keeping with God's theology of blessings. As God blesses us, He extends to us the responsibility to use those blessings. And so He has charged His followers to talk to those who don't know Him and help them to understand the way. And here we are really with all of this. Let the nations praise God because He makes His way known. Because He makes His way known. And you and I are part of that. If you are a child of God this morning, if you are a Christian this morning, you are a part of the process of making God's blessings known, of making the goodness of God known, of making it known how well God has been constructing your life, and you in turn pass that along to others. Let's decide, you and I ourselves, right now, if you've never decided before, to be a river flowing God's blessings to others, telling others about God's way. Be a conduit, not a collection site. That's what the psalmist is praying for his own self. We ought to see this as the great blessing that it is to be a part of the worldwide scope of God's mission. And so ask yourself this morning, as I ask myself, how am I using the blessings that God is giving to me? Am I using those to help others round about me? Or am I just collecting those? And if I'm just keeping those to myself, you need to rethink. You need to look again at God's reason for blessing you. He's blessing you so that you can make His way known. So number one, God blesses us to make His way known. And God has made His way known. We ought to praise God because He's made His way known. Now let's get back in the psalm and peel open another level for us here as well. In the opening verses of this psalm, the writer prays for the blessings of God. We notice that, so that all nations might know His way. But if you drop down just a little bit now into verses 3 through 5 of this psalm, you're going to find something else that is here for us as well. In verses 3 through 5, the psalmist brings up the idea of God's judgment. And you will notice he'll bring that up particularly in verse number 4. He'll bring up the idea about God's judgment. So let's pause and put a little title over this for just a moment. Praise God, not only because He's made His way known, but praise God, secondly, because God judges righteously. He judges righteously. I want you to look at verse 3, and then we'll skip verse 4 and look at verse 5. In verse 3, Psalm 67 in verse 3, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all people praise Thee. And if you skip down to verse 5, what you'll find, it is a verbatim quote of this verse. Look at verse number 5. Let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. He has said the same thing twice. But sandwiched in between the middle of verse 3 and verse 5 is verse 4. And that's his point. His point is in verse 4. His
point in verse 4 is the pivot of making these two expressions in verse 3 and verse 5. Well, what's his point in verse 4? In verse 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for, that's the reason, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. The psalmist is telling to us to praise God in verse 3 and verse 5 because God will judge the nations righteously. Now, maybe it's not an easy thought in our mind to think about the judgment of God. Maybe most of the time when someone thinks about the judgment of God, it strikes a little fear or maybe a little terror in their mind. To think that, well, one day I've got to stand before God and face the judgment. And the Hebrew writer is clear about that in places like Hebrews 9 and verse 27. For it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then the judgment. The judgment's certainly something that we're going to have to face. But I want you to notice that in the words of this psalm, it's not just the judgment of God that the psalmist highlights for us. But if you notice carefully back at verse number 4, for thou shalt judge the people righteously. Righteously. Praise God that God will judge the people righteously. Praise God that God has made His way known. Praise God that God is going to judge the people righteously. All people will join in praising God, should join in praising God, because He'll judge all people righteously. And as we think about what the psalmist is telling us, we need to understand that that's how God's judgment is. It is righteous. It is righteous. He's going to judge rightly. And he specifically points that out. God judges people with truth, equity, and righteousness. And everybody ought to be glad that when judgment day rolls around, God is going to judge in just that way. He's going to judge you and me in the right way. He's going to judge according to His truth and equity and righteousness. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 25, an important and also a rhetorical question is asked. And the question is this, Genesis 18 and 25. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? What's the answer to that? Is God going to do right? He's going to do right. He's going to judge in a righteous way. And the reason we know He's going to judge in a righteous way is because He's already given us the divine standard by which He's going to judge us, hadn't He? This is it. He's already told us. He's already given us in His Word what that standard is. Remember, Jesus said one time in John 12 and verse number 48, Jesus will say, the words that I speak, the same shall judge you in the last day. God is going to judge on the basis of what He's given us in His Word. We don't have to come to judgment day and sort of make it up on the fly as to whether we've lived in the way that God has called. We have the information. We have the knowledge. It's available to us. Now it's up to you and I to take it out and open it and look at it. It's up to you and I to be aware of the opportunities we get to have so that we can come to the judgment day and be prepared. Opportunities like worshiping together and being a part of Bible study, those are important things. How else are you going to know how to live your life and be ready for the judgment day if you don't spend time in worship of God and in Bible class and in your own personal Bible study? Well, there's no way you'll be ready for that. You know, really, the basis of all questions is this. Is eternity real or not? Is it going to happen or not? If you ever want to get your mind in the right place, just think about eternity. Is it going to happen or not? Is judgment going to happen or not? If it is going to happen, and it is, then we ought to use this book every single day. We ought to look at the divine standard of God's Word every single day so that we can know how we ought to live and be prepared for what God has given us within His Word. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, Paul will make a statement about some of the blessings that God has given to us through Christ. Well, how would you ever know about that unless you don't pick up the Bible and read about those things? The judgment of God is not going to be corrupted by
poverty and racism and violence and injustice and corruption and lying and thievery that is so a part of our world. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be righteous judgment. It's going to be according to the truth of God's Word. And that ought to help you and I want to be able to look in this book and take this book out all the time and take every advantage of every opportunity we have to learn about God, both in our private ways and in public ways such as worship as well. You see, what happened on the cross is that God did for you and I what you and I can never do for ourselves. God put the weight of our sin on Christ. And it is as though Christ has been treated as that one carrying all of our sins. And we would not know of things like that had we not taken the time to learn that from God's Word. I can stand justified not on the basis of my own righteousness, you see, but on the righteousness of what God has done for me and my response of faith in that, in obedience to His Word. And so the psalmist is telling us, praise God. Praise God, all nations. Well, why? Why should we do that? Because, first of all, He's made His way known. He's blessed you, and you can be a part of that process of making His way known. Number two, because when you come to the judgment of God, there's not going to be any guesswork. He's going to judge righteously. He's going to judge correctly. That motivates us to hopefully be those individuals looking for the opportunities to learn from God's Word. Now, there's one more layer that we need to look at here for just a minute, and it's down at the very end of this psalm, in Psalm verses 6 and 7. And the psalmist is going to give us another reason as to why we ought to be praising God, why all nations, all people everywhere ought to praise God. And that third one is going to be because God faithfully blesses us. He faithfully blesses us. Now, the last two verses of this psalm, they're kind of unique. They're interesting in regard to their appeal. If you're looking at the King James Version of the Bible, you'll find the first word in verse 6 is the word then. And you'll find, if you look carefully, you might have to put your glasses on and polish them up a little bit, but if you look carefully, the word then is in italics. Well, you know what that means, don't you? That means that word is not in the original language. It was added by translators to help give it a little more sense in the English language. But in other translations, the word then is not there. And it more appropriately reads, shall the earth yield her increase, and God, our own God, shall bless us. And so he's not stating a condition. He's stating rather a matter of fact. God shall bless us. God shall, just like the earth shall yield its increase, God shall bless us. And so really the last two verses are kind of unique in that they are an illustration of the fact that God faithfully blesses. He always blesses. And what the psalmist is doing is he's using how God faithfully blesses in physical ways, the earth bringing forth its harvest, the earth bringing forth its produce. That's an illustration. What God is doing physically, that's an illustration of what God will do spiritually. God providentially provides for what we need in the harvest of the earth. God also provides for us in a spiritual way. And so it's a grand picture that we have here. And God providentially blessing mankind in physical ways through the earth yielding its crops, well, that just kind of goes on unnoticed, doesn't it? It's not a noisy, obvious, sensational thing. The earth just does its thing, and it does its thing quietly. The seed grows, the seed brings forth fruit, and we benefit from that. But you see, it only happens because of the faithfulness of God. Only God is able to make the earth yield its increase. All you and I do is put the seed in the ground. God takes care of all the rest, doesn't He? God puts the energy in the seed. You don't put the energy in the seed. That's there because God put it there. You put the seed in the ground, but you're taking advantage of what God has done. God provides the first leaf, God provides the soil. God provides the nutrients in the soil. He provides the stalk. He provides the grain. God provides the sunshine. God provides the rain. God provides a change of seasons. He brings the harvest. God does all of that without your input. And because God faithfully does all of that, you have food on your plate. And I have food on my plate. Because God is doing all of that. He's doing it providentially. He's doing it in the background. He's doing it faithfully. He always does this. And it happens so seamlessly that we hardly even think about it. So here's what the psalmist is doing. He's using that as an illustration of how God blesses in far greater and spiritual ways. Just like God takes care of us providentially, God provides for us everything we need providentially. He will provide for us as well everything that we need in every other way. You have life, health, and strength because God is faithful. You have food, clothing, and shelter because God is faithful. And God's faithfulness in providing providential things brings to the psalmist, and ought to you and I as well, confidence that God is going to provide in spiritual things. And I submit to you that because God is faithful with providential things, you and I can live with the expectations of God's blessings spiritually in our lives. God operates faithfully. He has always operated faithfully. I want you to look at one other passage with me in your Bible. Please turn in your Bible to the book of Lamentations. We don't use the book of Lamentations a whole lot. The book of Lamentation is right after the prophet Jeremiah. Right after Jeremiah, you'll find the book of Lamentations. It was written by Jeremiah. We call him sometime the weeping prophet because he's writing at the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's weeping over Jerusalem being destroyed. But in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21, he gives a great praise to God for God's faithfulness. Look at Lamentations 3 and verse number 21. And Jeremiah says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him." Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, finds reason to praise God even in the darkest days of his life. And he knows God is going to be faithful. He knows God will bless in ways that only God can do. And because of that, he's praising God in this. Knowing that God blesses us in our physical needs, even when things seem difficult and chaotic and tumulted in our lives, that God is still there blessing us. It gives us hope. It gives us confidence that God will take care of us in the greater spiritual needs. Psalm 67 is a great psalm in which the writer, by inspiration, is writing about why the nations should praise God. He's writing about why all people ought to praise God. All people ought to praise God because God has made His ways known. And you and I are advantaged by being a part of that process of making His ways known. But we ought to praise God because He's made His way known. We ought to praise God because God will judge righteously. But this last consideration down here in verses 6 and 7, they're just a little bit different. They're just a little bit different because He simply gives an appeal by way of an illustration. And just as God faithfully provides for us physically through the abundance of the earth, giving back its yield, it's an illustration of what God can do and will do in providing for you and I in spiritual ways. You know, God has already done well beyond what you and I could ever ask or think in providing the gift of His Son. He's demonstrating that He is interested in your spiritual welfare by giving His Son. You remember John 3 and verse 16, what we sometimes call the golden text of the Bible? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, God has already provided for you and I spiritually.
Just as He provides the harvest of the earth for us, and we don't ever think about it or ever do anything to make it happen, so God has provided Jesus. And He's provided that grand spiritual blessing. And no wonder the Bible says things like it does in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The demonstration of that is He sent His Son so that you do not have to perish. He provided His Son. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of truth." Titus 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." But my friend, here's the deal. God will not provide for you spiritually unless you allow Him to do so. God takes care of all people physically. He provides the sunshine, the rain. He provides the energy in the seed to make it bring forth the fruit of that seed. He provides the nutrients in the soil. He provides all of that without your consent. He makes the sun shine, the seasons to change, the rains to fall. He does all of that without ever any input from anyone whatsoever. But His spiritual blessings, well, they're a little different. God's spiritual blessings, you have to want those for yourself. The Bible tells us things like this in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. You want the spiritual blessings? You have to be in Christ. The difference between what God does for us providentially and what God does for us spiritually is that I have to want it. I have to want God's spiritual blessings. I have to want to be in Christ. And He gives me the option so to do. The Bible teaches us that being in Christ is accomplished by our believing that He is the Son of God, by our willingness to confess that belief. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. Repenting and being baptized, that puts you in Christ. When you're in Christ, you are the recipient of all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. I want to say to you this morning, if you are not in Christ, there is no reason for you not to be. God wants to bless you. He wants to provide for you spiritually. Do you want it for yourself? If the answer to that is yes, then just come in obedience to the gospel and make that so in your life. God will add you to His church. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. But it's up to your desires. If we can help you with that in any way whatsoever, we're here to do just exactly that. Or any spiritual need that you might have in your life. Just now as we stand and we sing this song, "Come If You Have Need."
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy